Well, welcome to New Beginnings. I'm so glad you're here. We say hello and welcome and take great Jesus joy to all those that are listening in. And we're thankful for you and we're thankful for the Lord. We're continuing this series, Discover Who You Are. I want to tell you, it makes a difference when you discover who you are. The Bible says that old things are passed away and all things become new. Now, you know that so much, I'm going to get you to just say it after me. Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
All things have become new.
All things have become new.
That's what happens when we receive Christ. When we come to Christ, that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus does. All things become new. Now, we know from studying this series that what actually happens is right here in our spirit becomes brand new. The old man in you, the old spirit in you actually dies. Okay, the picture in Scripture is identification with Christ. We'll see that. Where that we're actually crucified with Christ, and there's a resurrection as you accept Christ. There's a resurrection where that your old spirit is raised up and joined with the Spirit of Christ, and you become a brand new creation. And that's true in your spirit. And so when he talks about, when the Bible talks about that the Spirit of God baptizes you into Christ, then I want to tell you that's the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell in you. And I want to tell you, it's not just a partial or just a portion of the Holy Spirit. It's the full measure of God. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit himself comes to dwell in you. And Jesus described the Holy Spirit like this. He said, hey, I'm going to send one just like me. The Spirit of the living Christ, just like me, the Holy Spirit, to come dwell in you. And Jesus said, it's to your advantage. I want to tell you, this is exciting. Now, when we're born again, this is what happens. The Spirit of God comes to dwell in us, and we have a newness of life, okay? And this newness of life is not temporary. I know we're not to trust emotion, okay? Even I've tried to tell you, especially the bad emotion, don't go there. Don't even trust it. Look to the Word of God. The Word of God, be it a Word of God person versus an emotionally based person. But at the same time, even good emotion you cannot trust. Now, if it's good emotion, enjoy it while it's good. But I'm here to tell you something. You cannot depend on good emotion. That's why that we have people every Sunday. You know what? I just have to confess. You know, we have people every Sunday that serve and honor the Lord, not because they're feeling like it, but because they love Jesus.
Amen.
I'm here this morning because I love Jesus. If I told you blood pressure numbers that I've had lately, you know, you'd try to call somebody on me. So I'm not going to tell you. And that's between me and the Lord's touching me. I'm receiving healing on that. But I'm here to tell you something. Emotions are temporary. And so a lot of times somebody receives Christ and it is emotional. I'm telling you, it is emotional. But I want to tell you the emotion doesn't last sometimes. I've had teens in the past that we would lead to Christ, and a week later we couldn't find them. We go look them up, and they say, I'm so sorry, Brother Tim. I don't feel like I'm saved anymore. I said, well, welcome to the club. Okay? Thank God he's not relying on our emotion. It's by his works, not our emotion. Everybody said. And so it's not just temporary. It's everlasting life. You know, that's the definition for eternal life when Christ comes in you. It's everlasting. I mean, that's better than the battery. It's everlasting. Okay? It starts from right when you receive Christ. And everlasting life doesn't start in heaven. It starts when you receive Christ. That is newness of life. It's the life of Christ. And when we recognize that this is truth, you say, well, Brother Tim, this is children's church stuff. Well, there's adults in Christ that forget it. Don't walk in it, don't apply it. Because I want to tell you, when you recognize this truth and you accept this as concrete in your life, it's easier to walk in it when you recognize it. That you have newness in life in you. Now, you don't always act like you do. And especially those times when you don't act like you even know his name, I'm here to tell you because you accepted Christ, your spirit does not sin. It's covered. Matter of fact, the Bible description of it is that we're sealed. The picture is being vacuum packed. I'm telling you, the mud can't get there. It's full of Jesus. It's wall-to-wall Holy Ghost right there, baby. And it's good. But I'm here to tell you something, that even especially when your soul and your body don't act like, okay, it should, and that's what happens. Well, I'm telling you, there's still newness of life in you. We forget that. I want to tell you, I have a little pickup out in the parking lot. And I could offer rides today, and probably everybody but Mother Mary would get in. But I'm here to tell you something about it. That little Red Hawk out there, the mighty Red Hawk, that super six-cylinder I got out there, is mine. I've signed the papers. It's been sealed. Been committed. It's mine. Now, I want to tell you, somebody come in here and try to convince me that that's not my truck, they're going to have a little trouble. See, I'm going to laugh that off. And I'm going to tell them, no, that ain't the way it is. That's my truck. I don't care if they had one that looked like it. I don't care. You know, I know every little dent in it. Oh, that was a bad word, wasn't it, baby? But I know every dent in it, and I know every scratch on it, and I know I ride in it. That's my truck. But I want to tell you, the enemy comes to try to convince us that we don't have newness of life, and that we're just to survive as we are until Jesus comes, or until we go to heaven. And that one of these days, it'll all be changed. And that sweet day, no, I'm telling you, in the nasty now, you have newness of life. And so I'm telling you, we're to be that convinced. We're to recognize and know that the mighty Red Hawk is yours. That newness of life is yours. It's personal. Okay? He's put his name on you. And the other part that the enemy comes to lie to us about is to tell us that this flesh right here, when we misbehave in the flesh, and this flesh out here, or this soul, this wrong thinking, stinking thinking in you, that that's the real you. And I'm here to tell you, that's not the real you. The real you, the eternal part of you, right there in your spirit, is the mind of Christ. Okay, and so all this junk in the natural mind that don't line up with that, this stuff's temporary. The stuff that your body participates in that you shouldn't participate in, and the enemy tells you, well, you know, you just lost it. No, you haven't lost it. I'm telling you, the newness of life is still in you. Here's a little example. When I go fishing, I smell good when I start. I'll be real honest with you. By the time I get through fishing, you can ask my beautiful blonde. Pastor Don went with me this year. I don't smell good. I have to let the windows down. I'm telling you, I have a fun with the fish. And they get all over me, and I get all about them, and there'd be a little blood on my shirt. I just count it as a victory sign. I don't complain about that. I smell like fish. It smells like victory to me. But one of the worst things that make me not smell so sweet is that I use this little sauce that I spray on the lures. And it's supposed to smell real good to the fish, see. But I'm telling you, to the human nose, it's stinky. It's pretty strong, friends and neighbors. But I want to tell you, it's worth it to me. Okay? If I even catch three or four more, it's worth it for me. And so, but a lot of times when I'm spraying that stuff on the lure, the wind's blowing toward me. I'm just sharing with you that by the time I get home, the beautiful blonde does not want my clothes in the house. They're to stay in the garage until they go right into the wash machine. Do you understand what's happening here? Well, let me tell you what's really happening here. You see, someone could walk up and smell my clothes and they could say, "You stink. You stink." I'm telling you, you're a stinking man. You just full of stink. Because that's what the enemy does. He comes up to the old flesh of ours and he'll say, "See there? You stink. You're a stinking man. You ain't no good for nothing but stink. You're full of stink." And we have a tendency, because the enemy lies to us, to believe what he says. "Yeah, I'm just an old stinking man." No. That's the old clothes. I'm telling you, it's the old suit that you're wearing. It's not the real you. The real you is the one. It's Big Tim coming out of the shower, not painting any pictures, but, you know, a clean man. Sweet smelling man. And especially before the beautiful blonde gets home. Sweet smelling man. I want to tell you, that's the real you. That's just the clothes. That's just the flesh. Do you understand? Okay. Well, don't believe the enemy. Because I want to tell you something. Paul comes along and teaches that how God deals with people now is based on grace. Not our performance. Or not what our clothes smell like. Or not what the enemy said when he lied and told us that we done lost it. Okay? It's based on Jesus, not on us. Is that good news? And so he deals with us, God deals with us that way. Now, you know, that always raises a question, or sometimes raises a question. And Martin Lloyd-Jones over across the pond said this. You've heard me say this, James, that, you know, he said if someone's not questioning our preaching on grace like they questioned Paul, well, does it matter if we sin then? If we're not preaching grace to that level, maybe we're not preaching to the level Paul did. Because that question comes up with people. Well, if grace is so covering, and grace covers us, and then does it matter if we sin? Well, it does matter. Let's look at the Word of God. Okay, Romans 6:1 says, and this is the question, and I'm telling you, I really believe that Paul put this in there because this is the reaction of people when they hear the grace message. Okay, Romans 6:1 says this, what shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace, His favor and mercy may multiply and overflow? And the answer, of course, is in verse 2, Romans 6:2. Certainly not. God forbid. Certainly not. I'm telling you, it's the strongest of wordings without saying a wrong word. It's the hardest of wordings. Do you understand? You see the exclamation point? Well, if you could hear him say it, I'm telling you, it's the strongest of wordings. Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? See, your spirit is the part of you that's dead to sin. Your body and your soul can still do sinful things. Now, y'all don't look at me too spiritual. I know where I'm at. Okay? Somebody say that's true. Either say amen or oh me. Any one of those fit. But our body and our soul can still do sinful things, but the born again part of you cannot. Romans 6:3, are you ignorant? Now see, this is why we need truth. This is why we need teaching. Because ignorance can give the enemy a license or an avenue to come and convince you that you've lost it, that you don't have newness of life. It was just for a little while, and there's nothing you can do till you get to heaven. Okay? Or the enemy can come along and tell you that it's really not yours, or the enemy can come along and tell you that this is the real you in your body. That's not the real you. But, so, let's not be ignorant, okay? Let's not miss because of a lack of knowledge. Here he goes. Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And that's talking about being baptized into the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the baptizer. This is not talking about water baptism. We had a young lady receive Christ just the other day. She's not here this morning. And she needed to be baptized. And I'm just saying this to the pastors and to you too, because that's part of what needs to happen. But let's look at this. This is not what it's talking about, not water baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by means of the personal agency of one Holy Spirit, which means this is what he is and this is what he does. In other words, this is an automatic. This is what he does. It has nothing to do with you. You receive Christ, he baptizes you into the body of Christ. Okay, it's different baptisms. This is what I'm telling you. This is one of them, where the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. For by means of the personal agency of one Holy Spirit, we were all, whether you're from Oklahoma or Louisiana or you're from the great state of Texas or even Arkansas, Jews or Greeks, whether you're a tea sipper or you just drink Folgers coffee, whether you're slaves or free, we've been baptized and by baptism united together into one body. And all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. You see, he baptizes us into the body of Christ. Sometimes I've ministered to some churches and they think they're the only ones. You know? I mean, there is such thing as spiritual pride. They think they're the only ones. And The real truth of it is right here is that the Holy Spirit, when we receive Christ, no matter what the tag or title is on the door, when you receive Christ, he baptizes us all into the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ. Okay? And so there are different baptisms. After one professes faith, like this little lady did just the other day, they should follow the Lord by being physically put underwater. Okay? And that's really the description of it, physically put underwater as a symbol of what took place at salvation. So that's important. You say, well, I don't want to get my hair wet. Well, get out of here. Okay? He went to the cross for you. It's okay for you to get your hair wet. All right? And besides, it'll dry. Okay? And besides, people will be celebrating your wet hair. Okay? But it goes like this. Well, why should I have to? Well, because Jesus said so. That's enough. Am I right? I mean, if you really receive Christ, he's your master and your Lord. If he asks you to get your hair wet, you know, sure, Lord. And number two, it's about a public witness, but I'm not preaching on that today. But it is about a public witness. But also, Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And in my term that I love to use, because different churches use different terminologies, and man, they want to fuss and fight over a term. I don't care what you call baptism of the Holy Spirit. I love to call it the overwhelming of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But we all need the Holy Spirit in every form, way, fashion that we can receive, we need. Thank you for agreeing with me on that. But Romans 6:3, to get back to what I'm really preaching on, is referring to how when you're born again, you're placed in Christ and he's placed in you. You see, it's about identification here. Identification is a key word in Scripture. But we receive the Spirit of Christ, and he receives you. And when this baptism took place, when you accepted Christ, you were actually baptized into his death. That's the terminology. And what happens is that your old spirit dies. It's crucified with Christ. And your new spirit is born. And that's when the Spirit of Christ joins your spirit, and you're rebirthed. Jesus called it being born again. Your rebirth, and that new spirit rises up in you, and it's the Spirit of the living Christ joining you right there inside of you in your spirit. The real living presence of Jesus, his spirit. That is so exciting. I'm telling you, meditate on that. It'll just do your heart good. And so being baptized into his death is automatic, but the walking in the newness of life is not automatic. Okay? Because he needs your love life, he needs your submission, he needs your cooperation. Okay? And without that, you don't walk in the newness of life, even though it's here. Did you get it? That's why some Christians live a life and they just live like a normal human being life. They don't see any difference in their life. Well, it's because they're not walking in the newness of life, but the newness of life is here. Because he's in us. Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with him by the baptism unto death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too, see, this is what happens. So we too, as a result of him being born again, this Spirit of Jesus coming to us and resurrecting life coming up in us, the Spirit of Christ now dwells in us, we too might have habitual, do you see that word? Habitual life, not just a one-time experience of Jesus when you accept Christ, but a continual flow of the life of God, resurrection life of God, and to such a way that we behave, we operate in this life, in the newness of his life. That should excite somebody. See, this will take away the feeling that, well, the Lord will do it for these pastors here, but he won't do it for me. No, this is for all of us. Okay? It's not just potential. You see the might? That's not just potential. It is potential, but it's not just potential. Okay? It has to do with choice. Okay? Look, I've got that mighty Red Hawk out there in the parking lot. But you may not, I don't have, you know, I can choose not to ever cooperate with the power that's under that hood. Because I can choose not to receive that power. I can leave it turned off. Look, that's what this valve is about right here. It has to do with our chooser. You've received Christ. I want to tell you, all the benefits of the covenant are yours. He paid the price, same price for all of us. Okay? But I want to tell you, you can choose to not turn on the valve and receive what he's done. And so there's choice there in this. I'm trying to point this out to you. But you know what? I want to tell you something. You can see it in this scripture. There is the expectation that we will. Don't you want what all God's paid for you? Isn't there a cry on the inside of you that God, that we want more of what God has for us? And that God has more in store for us? You see, this has to do with identification. We identify with Christ. The Bible says we're joint heirs with him. We've been joined with him. But here's the deal right here. Because of the newness of life that's in us, we live under the authority and the power and the blessing of resurrection life, because that's Jesus. Wow, that's exciting. So walking in a newness of life is something that should happen and does happen when we discover it, when we recognize it to be true, and we start practicing renewing our mind right here by seeing Jesus in the Word of God and by meditating. You see, that's what the Bible says. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're changed. Powerful change takes place in our soul and in our body when we practice renewing our mind. And that happens through the Word of God. Okay? Now, in order to renew our mind, it means that our hearts got to be submitted to him. Because I want to tell you what human minds want. They say, well, just tell me what he wants. 1, 2, and 3, and I'll just do that. No, no. See, that sounds like the Israelites of old. They'd tell Moses, you just, you know, we don't want a relationship with him. You know, you just go find out what we have to do, what he wants us to do, and come back and tell us, and we'll just do that. But see, what the Lord wanted was to gather him up close to his heart. You know what the Lord wants with you? He wants your heart. He wants relationship with you. So this is not going to happen by you just taking the human mind and trying to do 1, 2, 3 in order to get God off your back. That's not the way this works. Okay? You can do all the works of trying to make it happen, and you can miss, get off into law real quick. And it works real quick, but it's relationship. And if you will capture that, I want to tell you, it's amazing how the other stuff kind of falls into place. Okay? And what you didn't know, you begin to see. Because when you begin to see Jesus in the Word, he shows you yourself and who you are in him. That's very, very exciting. Now, the teens, last Wednesday night, we're going through Proverbs. And we covered in Proverbs, we learned a new word. Anybody remember what slothful means?
Lazy.
Lazy! What about sluggard? That's not a baseball hitter. What? Who doesn't want to. Not willing to. Okay, now look, it's very important for teens to learn this. This affects their life right now. I'm getting in the middle of where their feet meet the road. But I want to tell you, it's very, very important for adults to know this. Because I want to tell you something. Okay? Let me be lovingly honest with you that lazy people don't walk in newness of life. That's so important. Let me say it another way. Lazy, sluggard, slothful, self-centered believers. Yeah, I said believers. Don't walk in newness of life. Even though it's been paid for, it's been bought for it, got their name on it, like the mighty red hawk, it's theirs. And it's been a gift. It's not something they've earned. Jesus has gifted it. It's grace. But we have newness of life, but that newness of life is not applied to a lazy Christian. If someone's not willing to renew their mind, they are not transformed. Wow. Even though all the very fullness and the power of God dwells in them and is ready and willing and available to manifest. Wow. There ought to be some amens and oh me's on that, because I'm telling you, it's a gift to be applied. Well, let's look at this. Romans 6, 5 and 6. We'll cover this real quick. For if we become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also, come on, be one with him in sharing his resurrection. By a new life lived for God. And we know that our old renewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order, see, this is identification here. Nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, here it is. Here's the new life in here. This is taking place that the body, the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil. That we might no longer be slaves of sin. Something I've tried to teach you is this. You see, the Lord works with you and talks with you, ministers to you through your spirit, right there inside. We must worship him in spirit. Okay? I want to tell you, the enemy inroads into your life through your flesh. You understand? Through your flesh. I'm just going to say it. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but your flesh is a highway for the enemy to operate in your life. Now, your spirit died to sin. It cannot sin, has no desires to sin. But this doesn't automatically mean that your soul and body reflect that. That's why transformation, being transformed by renewing of mind, you walking in resurrection life depends on you. I'm going to say it like this because I preached a whole series on it. You can go back and listen to this. Fullness is a choice. God's already said yes. God's already said yes. There's nothing holding back on God's end. I'm telling you, you received Christ. The faucet from him is turned on full speed. We have a way of turning it on too. Or turning it off. And so it's very important. Romans 6, 6. I'm going to go through it one more time. We know that our old renewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective. Okay? So all the Christians who think, well, temptations come. The devil made me do it. There's nothing I can do. Well, I just don't live in victory because, you know, this is what I do and I do this and it's a habit and I've been doing it. No. 1,000 times no. Jesus paid the price for that to be broken. Hey, we have resurrection life in us to make the highway of sin ineffective and inactive for evil. Does it mean we can't sin? Now, you know better than that. Of course we can. Yes, we choose to. Don't say the devil made me do it. What you probably ought to say is I let the devil do it. That we might no longer be a slave of sin. So I am telling you, I know there are believers that are slaves of sin. But it should be referred to as a way of the past. Let me say this. It is temporary. And it sure can be temporary. Because I want to tell you, Jesus has paid the price for us not only to be free from the punishment of sin, but from the power of sin. Now, the reason this is not more effective than what it is because a lack of knowledge is one. Number two is because of laziness, people not willing to renew their mind. It's great preaching, Brother Tim. We're so encouraged. Okay, stay with me. Okay, stay with me. Let me say it to you like this. This ought to bring you some hope. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we're on the victory side. Don't say I can't or I'm not able. All right, that's a lie from the enemy. The truth is that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What's his name? The greater that he is in. Jesus, that's right. And so anytime you see old man or old self refers to the spirit you had prior to salvation. Because that spirit has died in trespasses and sin. That's done away with. That's dead. There's a new man in you and it's Jesus. Okay. Ephesians 2:1, here's an example. And you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sin. Do you see that? Okay. Your old man no longer exists, but it's been crucified, has died, and was buried with Christ. And after you've been born again, the flesh, this is what the flesh is. Brother Tim, I'm not real sure what it is. Well, it's not the poundage that you carry. Could be connected to it. I've preached to myself on that. But here we go. After you've been born, the flesh describes this. It refers to every thought, every emotion, every desire, every part of you that's not under the control of the brand new righteous spirit. Man, that needs to be written down. I guess it is written down. It's in your notes. Need to be underlined in your notes. Put a stick figure out there. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Now, I want to tell you, when you meditate on this, it'll just absolutely, wow, so exciting. What is true of the Holy Spirit is true of your born-again spirit. Have you connected that? Because it's him in you. And so I'm telling you, in your spirit, when I say the term full of wall-to-wall Jesus or wall-to-wall Holy Ghost, I mean that the very fullness of God dwells in you. Amen. They're one. Okay? Wow. That's what Jesus said. I'm sending one just like me. He dwells in you. So that's why we're able to say, look, I'm just going to describe this to you. There's enough power in this room to conquer the whole world. Because the power in you has already conquered the world.
Amen.
And so, for us to sit here and think, well, my little trouble, my little trial, my little disturbance, my little pain, my little... No. Wait a minute. Hey, get off the small-mindedness. Let's agree with the mind of Christ. I'm telling you, there's enough power in you. The very resurrection power of Jesus Christ dwells in you. The very power, resurrection power of Jesus Christ is available to help us to habitually live His life.
Amen.
Man, there's so much there. That's why we can say, Pastor Tony leads us in this confession. There's a power source within me which is able to do abundantly beyond all that I ask or think. Here it is, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who by in the consequence of the action of his power, what he's done in us, this is big H, him, what he's done inside of us, that power that is at work within us, you know, it's Holy Spirit power, the full measure of the Holy Spirit is able to carry out his purpose. Well, that sentence means in the pastors. No, that means in you. Carry out his purpose in you and to do super abundantly. Wow. I'm telling you, you study that word. You know, that's a whole lot more than what we're walking in. When you consider that this is true. Our experience is a lie. But this is true. And so when our experience don't line up with the Word of God's true and our experience is wrong. I am telling you something. When you study what this super abundantly means, it means that nothing is impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. So the word impossible should never come out of our mouths. Because I am telling you, wow. Far above, far over, and above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely, that's a big word. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Wow. Galatians 5:16. Do you see, I could spend a whole day right there. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk and live habitually. Can I just tell you a word there that you can write on top of habitually? Lifestyle. Live and walk is the same interchanging words in Scripture. To live is to walk. Habitually walk. Live in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, that's not possible. We don't know. I'm telling you, we don't know. When Jesus says it's possible, it's possible. I want to tell you something about the promises of God. He didn't put them out there to tease us. He paid the price for them to be acceptable.
Amen.
and applicable to us. Okay? Look, I'm trying to encourage you. Wherever you are, if the enemy's been saying to you, well, this is you, it's not you. Or you've lost it. No, you have it. And it's just as real and just as powerful as ever. And His power, His Spirit, His newness of life dwells in you and is available for our life 2018. Somebody say amen. Okay. Responsive to. That means to submit. And to choose Him over you. That's very important. Okay, this is not a self-centered journey. This is not the type of journey that you're on, well, I just want to be blessed. That's all I want is just be blessed. No, it's bigger than that. I'm telling you, our life is here to bless Him. But you'll find out that when you surrender to blessing Him, you're blessed. You cannot bless Him and not be blessed. That's His love life. And responsive to Him. In other words, you're choosing Him over yourself. And to be controlled by Him, see, by the Spirit. See, this has to do with walking in the Spirit. And there's people that will say, well, I want all the benefits of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to submit. Miss. Hello. Well, I want all the power and the blessings of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to be controlled by Him. I want to be a free man. No, I'm telling you, what you call freedom is slavery. Real freedom is being submitted to Christ. And so, what being controlled means this, is that when He says no, you agree with that. What, Lord? You don't want me doing that? I'm with You, Lord, and I don't want to do that. If the Lord says, quit that, well, I quit. I submit to You, Lord. I'm being controlled by You. What? Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Okay, Lord, no. Whatever You say, I say. You see a difference here?
Yeah.
Being submitted to Him and being controlled by Him. You see, there's people that say, well, you know, Lord, You touch me on Sunday, and I'm going to live my life the way I want to the rest of the week, and I'll see you next week. That's not walking in the Spirit. Wow. Lord Jesus, we love You. And to be guided by the Spirit. Now, this is not only being submitted to Him and choosing Him over yourself and practicing the no's when He says no, that you respond to the no, but it also means that when He says yes, you say the yes. Okay? That's right, Pastor. It's both of them. And so we seek Him, we seek direction, and when He says yes, then you obey. Okay? He says yes, you obey. I want to tell you, one of the things that we studied Wednesday night, because it's in Proverbs, is that Proverbs says, hey, son, let's study the ant. Ants are not lazy. I want to tell you something that Solomon brings out in Proverbs over and over again that our generation needs so much. Not just their generation, our generation. Diligence. Solomon preaches diligence. That if you'll be diligent, you'll be successful. Did we see it? And you study the ant? I want to tell you something about ants. They're under authority. I'm telling you, when their boss tells them, you go do this, they go do that. Okay? Now, sometimes you have a boss or you have someone in authority, sometimes spiritual authority, that whispers to you to do something that you don't want to do. Well, that's what coaches do. They try to help you do what you don't want to do in order for you to accomplish what you really want to accomplish. And I want to tell you what, the ants are a team. They cooperate, there's high communication, but I want to tell you they have their roles, and they don't get outside their roles. And I want to tell you, they will serve to the death for the benefit of the colony. Sound like New Testament. They didn't love their lives to the death. Wow, I tell you, that was probably more for me than you, but that really speaks. If we practice this, then you will certainly not. Do you see certainly not? Remember that He paid the price, gave us new life, so that the highway, evil doesn't have a highway into our life. Well, I want to tell you, look at this. I'm telling you, this is possible for you. then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. They're still there. I had a young pastor, Pastor James, you may enjoy this. I had a young pastor contact me the other day, and he was kind of struggling, you know. We know what that's like. I have compassion for the struggle. But he just, out of his heart, just put it out. He said, Pastor, do you ever get to the place where it's easy on this? I told him, son, you will have the opportunity to walk in faith for the rest of your life. Every day, I'm telling you, every season in your future, you're going to be walking in faith. There will be the opportunity to apply faith to what you're walking in. And if it's not for you, it's for others, but I'm telling you, it'll be there for you. Because this life, we walk by faith, not by... Thank you for knowing the Word of God. Now, let's practice that. Because when we see sight, and we see that our blood pressure numbers are not healthy, or the doctor said, Dr. So-and-so says, or my body feels and is crying about this, or so-and-so over here, neighbors talking and said something bad about me, or my wife... I had a woman one time that called me in crisis for her marriage, and I said, okay, just tell me what it is. What happened? He was grumpy at me this morning. What? He was grumpy at me. That's it? Yeah. It hurt my feelings. I said, well, you just call him up and tell him you love him, and he's a great man. You bless him. And then what the Bible says? Bless those who are grumpy at you. It makes a difference when we apply the Word of God. But you see, you can operate by your feeling and lose the whole day. But you will certainly not, that ought to encourage somebody here, certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, because they are still there. Okay? Here's how we do this. You esteem the Lord. And not yourself. I'll tell you what, it's in ministry too, and it has no place in ministry. It had no place in the body of Christ. But there are self-centered Christians. It's all about them. Celebrate me. Recognize me. Honor me. Make me feel important. Give me titles. Make people clap for me. No, 1,000 times no. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Bible says we're to esteem others better than yourself. And so instead of you spending so much selfish time saying, I want everybody to think I'm important to recognize me, you honor other people. If you want to be mighty in the kingdom of God, what do? You serve others. You give yourself away. You esteem others better than yourself. And if you're esteeming others better than yourself, you're not looking for a celebration. You're looking to celebrate others. That ought to be a big amen there. Whew. Okay. Well, y'all going to have to listen a little faster. Okay. Look. So esteem the Lord over yourself. Say yes to His yes with your life and not just your mouth. Look, some people get... They stumble over the nose of the Bible. Well, I just don't agree with all them no's, you know. And the Bible's against this and against that. And, you know, God, you know, I don't understand that. And I'm not. Look, let me tell you a secret. You get your heart in the right place with the Lord. And you get in love with Jesus. You start practicing the yeses of the Bible. And you apply the yeses of the Bible to your life, let me tell you a little secret. The no's are no big deal. It's easy to abstain of the no's when you're doing the yeses. Do the do's, and you won't be concerned about the don'ts. They have a way, because this is what love does. They have a way of taking care of themselves. I'm telling you, people here today are doing what they do because they love Jesus. I want to tell you, that's high celebration in heaven. Okay, so who are you saying yes to? Who's the Lord? Who's the boss? You or Jesus? Those thoughts, desires, patterns, habits that are learned and automatic before Christ came in you, they'll begin to diminish as you choose to submit to the Spirit instead. I'm telling you, those voices in the flesh, they get quieter and quieter. It's dimmer and dimmer. The lights get dimmer and dimmer as you walk in the Spirit. I'm not saying you ever come to a place where they don't holler at you or don't speak to you or say, hey, look at me. I'm not saying, hey, temptation is always present in this world. But I'm telling you a little secret here. You come to a place walking with the Lord that the enemy doesn't trip you up with the big temptations because you're walking in the Spirit. And so in other words, you know, you got someone that's mature in the Lord, and they're walking with the Lord, and the enemy says, hey, nakedness. They say, no, man, I'm keeping my focus on the Lord. They say, hey, you know, this pleasure or that pleasure, remember what it was like? They say, no, man, I'm over there. Yeah, I'm enjoying the Lord. I don't want that. You know, so that temptation's not real big then. But what happens is distraction. Are you with me? Okay, because I want to tell you, mature Christians fall because of lack of focus. And we get distracted. And I want to tell you, the enemy is in on that. I mean to tell you, and the world can call it good, the church may call it good, but I want to tell you something. If you're all surrounded and involved 100% and 10% giving your whole self to something that's good, that's not God, you can miss. Man, that needs to be said. Okay. Woo. Hey, it's 11 o'clock. The clock says 11 o'clock. I'm so blessed. Time flies when you're having fun. I thought somebody reset that thing. I'm assuming they did. I'm believing right here. Okay, I'm fixing to wrap this up. Let's do this. Without renewing and reprogramming your mind, this body and this soul will auto-vote toward flesh and toward your five senses. Yes. This is why we emphasize with you to renew your mind. Okay? Everything in your life that's hindering you with God can be broken. Everything can be overcome. I met with a police officer here in Euless not too long ago. Still burdened. Reflected by one of our officers that got killed just a couple years ago, and he's still burdened. He said, I'm just dead inside. Nothing, no life in me. I'm just going through the motions. I think I'm still grieving. And I had to speak to him. Are you sure that you know Christ? He said, yeah, you know that I do. I know Christ. I said, well, I'm telling you, the newness of life is still in you. And that newness of life needs to be given honor and priority. And I want to tell you, when we come to the place where our actions or our thought life, our attitudes or actions are cold on God, away from the Lord, not in tune with the Lord, God gave us a way, and it's called repentance. It's called repentance. You know what? God celebrates repentance. I'm telling you, when you repent means to change direction. It means to change your mind. Here I am over here, away from the Lord, cold on God, disconnected from the Lord. But you know what? With all this within me, I just turn to the Lord and I cry, mercy, Lord, I repent. Wow! Right then, heaven celebrates repentance. And you know what? The flow of the Spirit is renewed and refreshed. You may not feel it immediately. But let me tell you something. God so honors repentance, it's on, my friend. And there'll be awakenings coming to you. And there'll be a fresh drawing of the Spirit of God in you. You see? Choice makes a difference on this. Okay, so all that can be broken. Let me just say this. Oh, man, I got more to cover on this. And I am out of time. And I'll tell you this. I love y'all so much. Y'all are so precious. Okay. I'm going to just finish with this. We must see ourselves as victors and not victims.
Amen.
Because I'm just going to tell you, well-meaning. Did you hear me say well-meaning?
Well-meaning.
Well-meaning Christians. Well-meaning counselors. Okay? Will comfort you and console you and identify with you how that you're wounded, hurt, wrong, out of sync. And you know what? There's a place for that. We're to weep with those who weep. There's a place of comfort. The Holy Spirit's our comforter. It's okay to comfort people with what they've been through. But part of the problem I have with counseling is that a lot of counselors, that's as far as they go. Well, I want to tell you, a victim mindset is not victory. It's okay to comfort. It's okay to console. It's okay to minister where people are. We need that. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for comfort. Thank God for loving people. But you know what? If that's the same condition that they're in the future, it's a miss. Because I want to tell you, not only does the Holy Spirit come to comfort us and to console us and to minister to us right where we are, where we've been, but He also wants to bring us back into the place of victory. And so I want to tell you, this is very, very important. There is no lack of power or lack of victory for you.
Amen.
Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Now, this means for whatever you're facing. Because I can just sit up here and boldly say, wherever you're at, Jesus paid for that. I can boldly say, whatever your trouble, situation is, Jesus paid for that.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, by grace, through faith, you can let Jesus touch you afresh and begin the journey. Begin the adventure of walking you in greater liberty and freedom than you ever dreamed of. Because His dreams for you, His level of victory for you, His level of freedom for you, is much bigger than you've ever dreamed.
Amen.
And the journey starts now. Let's pray together. These pastors and prayer helpers are coming up. Y'all come, and we're going to just take a few minutes to pray for people. You know, I need to say sometime, this is not counseling hour. We're not going to counsel you here. We'll counsel you later. But we will pray for you right now. And so that's very important to get people to pray and agree with you about what you're facing right now. The Lord gets in on that. He's made a way for us to get help by other people praying the prayer of agreement and praying over us and taking authority over the junk. And so that's what we're here for, is to help you to victory. Don't settle for being a victim. Don't put your name on it. Don't call it your friend. Don't call it your problem. Don't call it your disease. Don't call it your trouble or trial. Okay? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not from God. Okay? The Lord's come to give us liberty and victory and freedom. It's okay for it to be a process. I'm still in process. Guess what? Everyone here is still in process. But you know what? It makes a difference which direction you're going. I'm just going to announce to you, if you're not pursuing and you're not walking after the Lord, walking in the Spirit, then you know what? You're walking backwards.
Amen.
There's no neutral state. We think there is sometimes, but it's not. You're either gaining ground or losing ground. And I'm telling you, He paid the price for you to gain ground today. I love you. I'm excited about you. He paid the price. The power source is within you. Let's come touch Him today. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we release your works in this place. We declare Jesus is Lord. Over every heart, we confess Jesus is Lord over this place. We confess for every family, Jesus is Lord. We confess over every situation, every individual, Jesus is Lord. And we confess over this church, Jesus is Lord. And we release the newness of life, the resurrection life, the overcoming life, to be made manifest today. By grace through faith, we receive. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and amen. Come for prayer. Come for ministry. Come to seek the Lord. Let's come touch the Lord today in Jesus' name. We're here for prayer.